percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Some fantastic headlines this week. Just going to do kind of a drive-by approach. Just give you the headline and move on, all right? I'll put the links on the website. But the big news, if you're into the UFO conspiracy and all that good stuff, and maybe you heard this guy, back in 1989 on Art Bell, Bob Lazar. This is fascinating, fascinating, because in all the years he's been telling his story, it's been very consistent. And I think Stanton Friedman said that he couldn't find any background on him, that when he said he worked at Area 51, he didn't exist. Well, Jeremy, who's produced the film here, Jeremy Corbel says he did find something on this guy. Maybe it was George Knapp who tracked it down. But this is a fascinating film, and Area 51 and Flying Saucers 2018. You can check out the trailer on YouTube. It just debuted. I had a chance to talk to him earlier, and our schedules got mixed, but there's another a few out there now, interviews that have all just been posted as of December 3rd. So this is one of those deep dives. You're going to have to do your own homework on that, but it is really fantastic. The Daily Beast has a good little interview background on this, on what it's, you know, what the extraterrestrial technology that he worked on. I think, 115? This is that little piece of science that he says he has this incredible piece of evidence that should, in some way, shape, or form, validate that we have been working back engineering some type of alien craft. Don't know if that's true, but that's the whole point, is getting it out here. Now, the other thing about this is when you know something and you might have evidence that somebody wants, it may not be in your best interest to keep it to yourself and going public and saying, hey, I've got this, it's out here, this is what it is. Then you might stay alive longer. There's a lady, and this is in Nexus magazine. I'd seen this article posted before about the lady who says she was beaten because they wanted her moon rock. The deal is Joanne Davis, Prescott, Arizona. She said that her husband, Robert Davis, who was an Apollo program engineer with Rockwell International, left her a rock. And this rock, 1969, a fragment of moon material. And this was given to him by Armstrong, Neil Armstrong. Well, the problem is, they said he couldn't give her the rock. There's all sorts of stuff on this story. That's just the headline. Nexus magazine, I'll put a link. But that one is fascinating too. And just in terms of, you know, what the potential is, if you have information that somebody wants and they would prefer it not to be publicized or out, go public first. And Bob Lazar, all along, he said, this is what's going on. This is what I know. This is where I've been. I don't care about whether you think I'm legit or not. I'm going to keep talking about it because I had the experience. The International Space Station robot, I love this. This is the little guy that looks like the head from the People of Earth. He's a little Simon the robot. Apparently, Simon has a preference in music. Of course, you might have guessed, Kraftwerk. Electronic type. Okay. And the thing is, he also likes people who are nice. There's a little clip here that they posted on CNET where he is supposed to interact and engage with the crew and kind of give them a little bit more, what would you call, ambiance and entertainment. And so at one point, they're talking to Simon and he says, don't you like it here with me? And don't be so mean, please. And people, the astronauts are going, whoa. So apparently, I don't know, maybe it was a tone or something, but Simon has sensitivity issues and wants to be treated equally like everybody else. Okay, and the coolest cat in the universe has to be, I had to go to Wikipedia to get all the the background, 10 Downing Street cat, chief mouser to the cabinet office, brown and white tabby, and if you see what's been going viral, the little link of him sitting at the door behind the reporter who's doing a stand-up in front of this whole scene as it plays out, the cat's at the door. And just very subtly behind, smooth, all of a sudden the door opens. Well, the police officer, the security guard there, goes and opens the door for the cat, and the cat saunters in. And there's another clip that actually shows you the whole scene. It's like, whoa, that is a cat with cred, okay? So there, and Kansas going to have a record, breaking the Guinness Book record with a 50,000-square-foot mural. in Wichita on a grain elevator. I think a trio of grain elevators. It looks pretty awesome. So my guess, if the placement of that grain elevator is going to be auspicious or not, does it help Wichita's feng shui, is, and this is so fun because we're going to be talking about fatal feng shui, Hollywood's fatal feng shui. My guest is, and I've got to get the name, Denise Leota Dennis, master feng shui. Is it professional or feng shui? How do you adept? How do you go with that, Denise?
I'm sorry, how to pronounce my name?
Is that what No. What's your title? Is that a master feng shui practitioner?
Master. Just master.
So I call
title,
you?
No, you just can call me Denise.
Okay, I was going to say, do I call you Master Dennis, Master Denise, Leota?
No.
Okay. Now, is it Leota?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. For people doing the Google search right now going, okay, where is she?
Yeah. And Jennifer Bonetto, she's my protege and my student.
Okay, and I wanted to talk about this time of year, you know, the celebrity countdown they usually do of who's with us and who isn't. But yours was even better because it had who isn't with us and why maybe they could have stayed longer if they'd fixed their feng shui issues. So that was my
exactly,
take on it.
Exactly, that's right. Some of these are pretty old. Some are more recent. The oldest is Marilyn Monroe, which we're still intrigued with.
Absolutely.
And the book is the first one that goes there's hundreds of books written about these celebrities. But this is the first one that said, okay, maybe it's their feng shui. Maybe their feng shui is fatal. And they all had, you know, very tragic. Some were murder. Some were, you know, suicides. Murder-suicide, as in Hartman. But this is the first one that sort of explained it through the energy of their homes.
Okay, the title of the book is Hollywood's Fatal Feng Shui, an in-depth examination of 10 celebrity homes with a tragic history. And that's what is so fascinating. You were able to get the floor plan of these homes to do your research.
Well, because Jennifer lives in the, she lives in the California area, LA area. And so she, you know, went around the city and went to the archives and did some research, and then she had an architect recreate the floor plan. So we actually got to see that, because they're public record, you can get the floor plans.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took compass direction, because when you do classical feng shui, you need that measurement of the energy, how the home is receiving energy, and we use that through directions. So she took compass directions and, you know, just really did her research. It took quite some time to do that, over a year. But each of these homes were visited, and there was actually 11 homes, even though we're saying 10, because we did two for Michael Jackson. One, he was only in for a few months when he died in Holmbury Hills, and then, of course, Netherland, because that's famous, and he was there almost, 18 or 19 years, a long time.
Well, okay, so which one had the biggest in terms of impression on him?
Well, they both did, because all the lawsuits and things, you know, with the child abuse accusations and so forth, that was really in Neverland. And that was just really inundated with what we call too much water would cause too much sexual activity and also lawsuits and things like that, which he experienced like mega. I mean, he must have had at least 12. And then when he lost Neverland, he just moved out, because when all that stuff was going on, the police were all over his house, and he thought they, you know, that just messed up his beautiful home. And he moved to Holmbury Hills, and that's where he died. He was only there, like, I think 5 or 6 months, and that's where the drug overdose. It also had a similar kind of energy, but more lawsuits, and things in the home were situated that it would make him very ill. And then, so all that kind of created the perfect storm. His bed direction was really, really bad energy. And then a few other things. And then that year, negative energy came to visit the bed direction. And then that was when he passed away.
Wow. Okay. What I wanted to get into, because if you're just now getting this book and you haven't tried or, you know, researched any other feng shui elements, there is a way that you can find out your own number, your own circumstance, and I went ahead and looked at mine, and so that makes it so you're not just completely lost getting into this. Hold on a second, because what we're going to do when we come back out is kind of intro that, and then the celebrities and who all is in this book, so people have an idea, or the highlights of some of this information, because it is fascinating how this stuff factors in.
And yeah, it really is.
Okay, so again, we're talking with my guest. And she's Master Denise Leota Dennis, all right? I get to call her Denise. That helps. I get tongue-twisted quick enough. Hollywood's fatal feng shui will find out who died and why, and if you can prevent the same thing happening to you by improving your feng shui awareness, all right? Coming up next, KCMO, Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO, Talk Radio, Hollywood's Fatal Feng Shui. Well, that's a warped version of Christmas song. My producer's entertaining himself. Okay, well, some people aren't with us this holiday season, and we're going to tell you why with an in-depth examination of 10 celebrity homes with a tragic history or just a tragic occupant. The authority on this is my feng shui master, Denise Leotidanis. And Denise, this had to, the topic is maybe a little bit tragic, but it's fascinating and interesting, and it had to be, you know, kind of a fun research to see how all these dots connected.
Yeah, it really was, and a bit disturbing. I have to tell you that when we were, and Jennifer and I both said that she's my protege and co-author of the book, and did a lot of research. She's in the California area, and we were both very disturbed, if you will, tossing and turning, thinking about these lives of people. I have to say the Mendez brothers, you know, that gruesome murder, and writing those facts. It was difficult to sleep sometimes. I kept going around and around in my head. She and Jennifer did too. It's very kind of disturbing.
Yeah, like reading a horror story, only it's true life.
It really was. But we were trying to figure out, of course, you know, the connection, connecting those dots, like you said, connecting the dots to see what happened in the sequence of events in these people that we still talk about. We still love them. There's still shows on them all the time. There's Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson. They're still, we can't get over it. We really are. In fact, Sharon Tate, look how old that is. Earlier, we heard something about the ghost and spirits, and there's a ghost still around that property. That was so horrific. So, yes, it was fascinating and a little bit disturbing.
Okay, so your co-author and your protege, Master Jennifer Bonetto. Now, if anyone needs a testimonial, at the back of the book, Jennifer shares her story.
She does.
Yes, the comparison from where she was originally kind of at in her life to where she is now. That's a fantastic testimonial of how this works.
It is. It was a beautiful journey, and we definitely wanted to include that in the book. And she lays it out very, very well. And the book is dedicated to her parents. You probably saw that initially. I mean, it's well said, and you know, she's wanted to talk about that part of the book. Put that in the book because of all this tragic stuff. We wanted to end it on a good note, a high note.
Well, and she, yeah,
instead of a tragic note.
Let's bring it back up a tad. Yeah, and she said when she was a kid, she could see energy and she could see things.
Exactly.
She would run into her parents' room.
You know, if you wind up practicing, I do too. And I actually was just writing in my next book quite a bit. I called it the ghost section story because there's quite a. If you consult long enough, you're going to encounter ghosts.
Yes.
In homes and in businesses when you do feng shui.
Yeah, we've got them here. Of course, at the station.
Yeah, and when you're sensitive to the, in fact, if you do this, you're already sort of plugged in and sensitive to energy, and women in particular are, and 80% of the, you know, feng shui consultants in the world, wherever they are in the world, are mostly women, and they are already sort of plugged into and sensitive to energy, and this really helps us as we're consulting. But in Jennifer's case, she was always afraid, and I remember one field trip we went on in Arizona when she was studying things about 10 years ago. She was really quite freaked out and creeped out about this ghost that was in the basement. So she tells about that, how she hightailed it in the back of the book. She talks about how she hightailed it out of there. But, yeah, she's been, like a lot of us have, seen spirits and ghosts.
Okay.
And that's,
I think, helpful to give people a little bit more validation that you're not crazy. This is part of something that we all do.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to deal with it once you get into these kinds of things. The life gua personalities. This is how people, when you're reading the book, you can make a better understanding of why this might impact certain people differently.
Well, let me just make a comment, Wendy, about, first of all, how classical feng shui, which is what we call genuine feng shui, and there's many systems. And one of my systems that is one of my favorites, the one you're talking about, is called Eight Mansions. And it's personal because classical feng shui is very personal. It's very specific to when you were born, when you moved into the home, how the space is arranged, you know, the rooms are arranged, what's around your site. So it's very personal. And one of the favorite systems that I love to talk about, and of course we do talk about in the book, is the Eight Mansion system. Now, if any of the listeners want to go get their own personal life gua, which is a wealth of information once you have that, in other words, how to set up your home, is go to fengshuibookstore.com, and I have a chart up. You're just going to get your chart if you can't wait for the book.
Yeah.
The chart's there. You can get your life gua number. And what that's going to tell you is those directions you should be using which are your auspicious ones that help you and support you, like in prosperity and health and relationships, and the ones that don't. Well, you can already guess that our celebrities were not activating those ones that were supportive. They were activating the worst of the worst in their bed direction or in their door or how their home was set up. That's just one piece. And then we talk about other systems as well, because we have to sort of make that little, you know, statement up front, because people aren't really familiar with this kind of feng shui.
I have a question. Sometimes you think it's predestined, that that's the way it's supposed to happen, so this kind of, you know, helps push it in that direction?
Well, that's a good point. You know, we talk a little bit about karma. You know, it's like whether people sort of believe in past lives or whatever. But, I mean, it's not everybody's karma to be a billionaire. It's not everybody's karma to be a movie star. You know, that's one piece of it. But how feng shui can help you is just anybody who, just a regular citizen, can change their luck or their destiny a bit by having good feng shui. And certainly these people were destined for fame, but they also had these really crazy home designs and things that we have tons of pictures in the book of that contributed to an earlier demise, maybe. Maybe Marilyn would have lived to be, you know, 80 or 90, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Like Bush, and he lived to be, what, 95? They had good fun. Look how they were aged.
Yeah.
Well into play, almost 100. And so that's got to be some good energy in a home. And this is the reverse. Something really bad is at the site. And we discovered all those. And these will be things, terms, if people have read tons of feng shui books, will have never heard these. And we're talking about aspects of it that will be fascinating because they haven't heard anybody examine a space, which is very personal. Like your life,
yeah.
You went and you got, it's a chart, and you're a one.
Yeah.
And so just knowing a little bit about your personality, it helps, like in coworkers, in relationships, your children and whatever. And these, we examined these because these were all in relationships. We examined, you know, like Sharon Tate and her husband, you know, he was having tons of affairs. Well, his life qua, they were already kind of sexy energy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will like those comparisons of the couples, or even like the Mendez brothers with their parents and even the couple. Or you go to Michael Jackson, what his life qua was, and sort of like his was sort of like power and authority, and he certainly had that kind of energy. Or the Hartmans, you know, where, you know, that was the tragic thing where she, you know, killed him and then she killed herself. And their life qua and their comparison, because it all sort of kind of gets down to those really personal things and then the space and the home itself.
Well, O.J.
Really,
Simpson you've included too, and he's still around.
Exactly. And in his home and the whole sort of history of their home. And a lot of these homes were torn down. You know, and one of the wildest, craziest design was Brittany Murphy's home. And two deaths there. She's young. She dies. And then her husband dies, what, 5 months later in this same house.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly had some really bad, you know, scenarios in that house. They were actually quite compatible and in love as a couple. But all of these are fascinating. Anna Nicole Smith,
yeah,
you know, she
yeah.
was married to the Houston billionaire, and then her home was like basically hanging off of a mountain. Her life qua and the personality, and even with the husband of the father of rather of her child, the last one, the little girl. These are all like just juicy. Like I said, we still can't stop talking about them. They're so good. But people might enjoy this perspective and why it was so fatal. And it's just, you know, horrific in some cases.
Well, and see, that's what the book is about. You lay this all out and give us, you know, the floor plan, the streets, why, you know, a tea coming directly into your house is not
exactly
a good thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, some of this you might have, if you're familiar at all with feng shui, you might have heard about it before. But to see it all laid out and see how these aspects
exactly
play out is
exactly
fascinating. I
and
think.
Like you said earlier, how to avoid that. You know, you don't want to get homes with extreme designs because the ancient Chinese figured out that never translates out as in supporting people. You don't want to have your home, you know, basically hanging off of a mountain. That's going to translate out to money loss. And it
yeah.
will.
Eventually
and
it will fall off.
You don't want to have certain situations.
Yeah.
You don't want to live next to a graveyard. You're going to attract ghosts and spirits in your house. Now, why is that an issue? It's because it will affect. That's the dead. We
yes.
are in spaces of the living. And we need yang, live, vibrant energy. We don't want to be around where it's dead.
They're around anyway, okay? So don't encourage them. Okay, hold on.
Exactly.
Hang on. We're talking about feng shui, fatal feng shui of the Hollywood kind. And these are 10 celebrity homes. You can take a look at the layout and the plan and see how it works. But if you want to check out the website, DragonGateFengShui.com, for Denise's information. Master Denise Leota Dennis. And this is, I think, fascinating just because of how it does impact us on a subtle level. All right? Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, it's the holiday season and we're going dark. Because you never know when your feng shui needs realigned. Well, maybe you do. It would be good to know that before, you know, before rotten things happen. I was looking at Marilyn Monroe's chapter here and immediately opened to the bathroom. I don't know why, you know, but it was just there it is. The master bathroom toilet. Do the nature of toilets, according to this. They should be located in negative sectors of the house. Her master bathroom right. was very well placed, would have been auspicious for wealth. So there she was, perfectly seated in the house mm-hmm. for wealth.
Well, like you were talking earlier about the life well, so that sort of that system is pretty simple. You have your bad directions, you want those to fall in negative areas. And, of course, the toilet by its nature is considered negative. So you don't want those placed in your great directions for prosperity, health, or, you know, relationships. That was well placed. Her pool was also well placed. So, for instance, when she moved into that house, not even a few months later, she was invited to the White House. And, of course, the infamous Happy Birthday, Mr. President mm-hmm. song happened, right?
Wow.
So that was
yeah.
auspicious. Other things weren't. The shape of the house was quite negative, and other things, features in the house were negative. And, of course, we still don't know if she was really murdered. That's a whole conspiracy theory.
Yes, yes.
Which I tend to lean towards.
I do, too.
And then, or did she commit suicide? I
nah.
tend to lean towards
nah.
the conspiracy mm-hmm. because of what she knew and who
too
she
many,
was
yeah.
attached to.
Too many loose
yeah.
ends.
And then there was also some wires found. I think there was a couple there that was... that used to be on the Hill Street Blues show, and then they were doing some remodeling, and they found the wires, some very sophisticated kind of quote-unquote government
surveillance.
Wires. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So her, you know, her life was particularly tragic. She's probably, of all the celebrities we focused on, which is why we put on the cover, she's probably the most beloved and still talked about, and literally hundreds of books have been written about her, her life, the conspiracy, the murder, you know, the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
Her feng shui wasn't that good. The little hacienda that she owned, though, was the only home she ever owned in her whole life, you know, because she was in foster homes and orphanages, and she had gone through several marriages. So this is the only home she owned, which
wow.
we thought was really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. You would think she would have had a lot more
oh, yeah,
the prestige
lots,
and
lots
ability.
Of homes and, no, she's the only one that she purchased, and it was adorable and just recently sold. So how we laid it out, Wendy, was like we talked about first, you know, all the systems so people would kind of get that, and all the horrible things that can happen at sites, like they have horrible names like Eight Roads of Destruction and, mm-hmm. you know, Eight Killing Mountain Forces and stuff. Like, we explain all that stuff, and a lot of our celebrities had it. And then we talk about what was good, like you just mentioned, what was good, what mm-hmm. worked.
Yeah.
And then we talk about what doesn't work, and then we pretend we were hired. We pretend, okay, what if they hired Jennifer and I? Come look at that and see if we could fix it. So then we call a section called Feng Shui Restoration, what would we do to correct it? And then we've done, just as an interesting note, what has happened to the home right now, currently?
Yeah.
Like O.J.'s house was flattened, Tate's house flattened to the ground, started all over.
Okay.
And then we give the history. Now, here's what's interesting. Even like Nikki Brown's house, when people bought the house, which some of these were slow selling because of the horrible murder
mm-hmm.
that happened, when people got those homes and they made the changes, some changes just serendipitously, they were not experiencing anything like that. So they made the change, some of the changes that we would have recommended anyway, just very very luckily. They're just lucky people. Like the Mendez house, they changed the driveway, which was really bad the way it came in.
Mm-hmm.
The energy was very supporting very negative things. And they corrected that. They changed it. And the same thing with Nikki Brown's house. They changed all sorts of things that were an issue because they were luckier. And they didn't have the same fate or karma.
I'm thinking they weren't drawn. They were drawn a different direction.
They weren't drawn to it. They weren't attracted to it. They didn't align with that energy. Sometimes it was available. Nor could we figure out the guy that built the Neverland Ranch that Michael Jackson bought, nor did they have any of these sort of horrible things happen. Now, he made money. It wasn't the money that was issue there. It was a bit too much water. And with the right kind of person, and they would tap into sort of that too much sexual energy,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of it went sort of awry. So that we don't know. We're not accusing him of anything. And we tried to lay this out, even though this is fatal and horrible things happen. We tried to be very compassionate about you know, not having any judgment about people's lives, because these were beloved stars. I mean, we still miss a lot of these stars.
Well, and I believe in karma. I think they bring some energy with them, too, in addition to whatever aspect is there on the property.
Absolutely, absolutely. But all of these things that we're describing here will assist people as they're reading it. Not only is it fascinating because, you know, we want to hear about these things and know about them, and this is a different perspective, mm-hmm. but it's also things to avoid, like you were talking about earlier. You know, we don't want that. We don't want that perfect storm to happen to us and attract these different sites.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got pictures of these homes. Many of them we had to go searching for and buy them. But like I said, the craziest one is if you looked at Brittany Murphy's home.
Yes.
It is the craziest layout. We couldn't even figure out where the front door was. Seriously. We could not figure out where the front door was. We go, where is the front door?
The Winchester Mansion.
How would you have to look so hard to find the front door?
Yeah, it's weird.
And that is on page 163 in the book. It's just crazy. It's the craziest. And that one has been completely reconfigured. It is a beautiful modern-day masterpiece, mm-hmm. which we didn't have permission to put in the book.
Darn.
But we tried, but we couldn't get anybody to respond. But they can go online and see that, and it's absolutely beautiful. See, again, they completely changed the feng shui of that home where this tragic, you know, where two young people, you know, in their prime died.
Yeah. It just looks like the energy is all going out in a different direction. Oh, and I do want to mention, when you have the designs of these homes, like if you're going to pick out a design, I was disappointed to see that the spaceship design is not a good design. It's not. Doesn't work. There's a house in Colorado that as you're going west out of Colorado, you're going up into the hill there.
I know it. Yeah, I've seen it.
It's like, I wonder what their feng shui is, because it's such a cool house.
You know, and these places, you know, like, let's talk about Phil Spector's for a moment. You see, now that's a castle.
Mm-hmm.
In Alhambra, right outside of L.A.
Okay.
And those places, because due to the design, like the spaceship one, is really a better public building, just like some of the castles in Europe are, and just like Phil Spector's house, which has a whole long history of bad luck. No one has really done well in that quote-unquote castle, including its builder, who was a millionaire back in the day when he built that. Right. So that really should be
place
surrounded by too many roads. Uh-huh. It has a strange design, has a strange history, you know, tragic history, and the worst being, you know, the lady was killed, Lana, upcoming star. And that really should be a public building. So some buildings are better suited as just no one living there.
Right.
But you could visit there.
A walkthrough. Yeah, that's nice. See ya. Bye. Don't eat anything while you're there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Frank Lloyd Wright's house, the one I think is absolutely beautiful with the falling waters, it has a negative history. Good to visit, but not to live there.
Because of the water.
They built a home so we call that it's unstable. You have no foundation. You got water under your house. This is not good feng shui.
Well, and it'll cause them. Again, like some of the generic advice about, you know, like at the back of the house, it needs to have a solid back like a fence. What if it has a broken fence back there?
Well, that's not quite as bad as hanging off of a mountain. Like, again, these are so extreme. But these are extreme stories, aren't they? I mean, this is why we picked them. You know, Jennifer said, okay, well, this is the ones I'll pick. Okay, that's great. These are ones to pick because they are so extreme. And you could be in a mountainous area or not and have extreme designs. But certainly the ones that, like Anna Nicole Smith, basically sort of hanging off of a mountain. Brittany's was surrounded by mountains. It was like she was almost being overwhelmed by the mountains. So all these different scenarios usually translate out to really negative events. And like one of my clients says, you know, people don't connect the dots, Denise. I said, I know. People don't connect the dots and say, oh, it must be the bad energy why these negative events are happening to me. They will never put that together.
No.
But the Chinese did.
And
feng shui is part of what I call the Chinese giving it up, a closed society for, you know, hundreds of years. And then we Westerners don't know what's going on with what they're discovering with energy, you know, first with martial arts, like it blew us away.
Okay.
We're going to take a break.
We're going to come back and talk about some of the other things you do, like the wealth and abundance, the romance, sex, and relationships.
Okay,
because you've got a lot of aspects that we haven't gotten into just with sticking with the celebrity thing here. But we'll touch on some of that here in the next break. Hollywood's Fatal Feng Shui, and this book happens to be the 10 celebrity homes where you've got the floor plans. You can take a look at this, what works and what doesn't, and we want to avoid fatalities, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, Denise, a little bit more coming up next on Wendy's Coffee House. KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, thank you for tuning in. If you miss anything, I will put the links on the website, wendyscoffeehouse.com. My guest, you can check out her website for more information, books, classes, consulting, DragonGateFengShui.com. Master Denise Leota Dennis, and she's the president. You can obviously learn a thing or two just by looking at the book, but if you want to go into more depth, there are some other books that also address things like romance, wealth and abundance. I think most people this time of year are looking for wealth and abundance and trying to figure out if next year is going to improve. But I also, before we get into the next element, my producer, Mark, he says, well, what if you have animals? What if you have pets? What if you have livestock? What kind of, how does that work, you know, with the feng shui? That's a good question.
Well, in general, where animals are thriving and plants are thriving, you can pretty much guarantee you've got really great energy around your property. Because when there's negative, really negative energy, plants aren't going to thrive, and animals aren't going to thrive, just like people. You know, they're living things as well. So where there's great energy, living things will thrive.
Okay. All right. So yay. Nobody has to get rid of their pets.
No. In fact, cats and dogs, you know, domesticated animals are extremely sensitive to energy. And that's why they'll look up at the ceiling and go, what are they looking at? They're looking at a ghost? They're looking at a spirit? What are they looking at? Because they're very sensitive to energy around you. But if, like I said, if they're thriving, you've got good energy. Now, there's always room for improvement, and that's why I write books. So people can go help themselves. They can look at things, make a few little adjustments, arrange things a little differently, use the energy differently, which we call it tapping the energy a little differently, and then they can have better luck, better prosperity, more opportunities for prosperity, better relationships. Certainly, if they're looking for a romantic relationship, or even to tighten up the one that they have. To improve their health. Now, of all those things, health is like the top of the list, but that's the one that's least talked about because it's not as sexy, you know?
Well, but it determines your lifespan. It's like, hello, if your heart is an issue or, you know, other things going on, get the body in order and everything else improves.
Right. Well, what would you think Steve Jobs would give to have his health back? Probably everything.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because he could make it again. He was a genius. He could make more money. But that's the least thing that people ask me about. You know, I've been consulting for 23 years. It's usually the prosperity and romance. Understandably, these are things we're concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have your health, you can't enjoy either one of those things. So the health is up there. And a lot of these people, if you look, Wendy, because I know you have looked through the book, they really were in poor health. And some of them were young.
Very young.
Drugs and things like that for the back and for the this and for the that, taking different things. And then, of course, the whole cycle of getting hooked on the pain pills and not being able to sleep and whatever. So health was a huge issue with a lot of these because a lot of these died way before their time.
Well, and that part of it, you would think, because of the tremendous, in many cases, affluence and tremendous success, tremendous potential they had, and it just didn't work. Didn't work.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was an interesting thing to, like, it was a revelation to Jennifer and I as we're going through this very detailed, discussing this in a very detailed, like, pretending like we're assessing the home. And even after all the years we have been consulting, it was a revelation how that one house could have so many negative things. In fact, I've never seen this in my regular consulting. You know, I have seen probably less than maybe five in the 23 years I've been consulting of what we call the eight rows of destruction. And the name sounds terrible, and it is terrible, but that's how rare they are.
Oh.
But a lot of these movie stars had them, and some of them had two of them, of these enormously, we call the big ticket items. These are like really rare, but they had them. For some reason, maybe like I said, they attracted them through karma or different, different reasons that they had these in their home.
Well,
but they were quite serious.
Yeah, I was looking at the one that I saw was the three killing position. Do not disturb it. No deep digging, remodeling, or demolition. Let it be the way it is.
Right, exactly. And I'll post that on my website every year somewhere. And that's when that changes every year. So, and deep dig, most people aren't going to do that every year. You're going to dig a pool once, you know, every 12 years, 20 years or something like that, or a pond or a lake but people do it. And planting flowers doesn't count, and even putting the sprinkler system in, but that disturbing the earth when it lines up, it's based on this planetary thing.
Ley lines.
And it can cause really bad luck. And a lot of them disturb that, like Marilyn Monroe did. that's where the where she was doing a lot of remodeling and stuff. So it's like shaking the chi in certain areas, and so she disturbed the three killing. I'm trying to think. I think Michael Jackson was another one that did, and then there's another energy that visits every year, and that one was one of the that came to the direction that bed direction of Michael Jackson, which created the perfect storm for him, unfortunately, in that house.
Okay, so when you're doing this yourself and you're trying it first, you're going to figure out what kind of personality you have just to see, and that's what you start with at the beginning of the book. And the lands, the lots, shapes, the different kinds of things that might have an impact. I'm looking at the beginning of the book.
Right.
You know, just the general stuff of what you might want to avoid in just looking at the house initially. But does it, I mean, would you have a feng shui person come in before you buy the house or after you're stuck with it and say, okay, can
we
fix it?
Well, ideally, that would be the best. But not everybody thinks about that. They're thinking about, you know.
Money.
Well,
can
I afford it? About getting, sometimes you'll lose it if you don't go ahead and make an offer.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes they do that and, you know, no fault of theirs, and then sometimes they'll call. Ideally, because this is a complex view of feng shui, not the normal, you know, we call the cookie cutter version,
mm-hmm.
and very, you know, personal. So it's best, of course, to have someone that does it. But it doesn't mean that you can't yourself. If you can't afford it, this is why I write books. If you can't afford it, my books lay it out. This is not designed for that. This is a book to enlighten on what fatal feng shui can bring if it's negative. Other books that I have written and continue to write are so that people can just really do their own if they can't afford to do it. And if you can afford to do it, of course, you don't have to think about it and hurt your head over it. But the books are there so you could, like you said, lay it out. Here's your personalities. Here are your good and bad directions. Here's the flying stars. Here's how it works. And I even don't even try to figure it out. I even give the recommendations like here's move the bed here, put the desk here. Here are the choices and different life groups. Because see, like you're a one. Well, let's say you're married to someone who's a different life group. Then it gets a little tricky. You have to tweak the feng shui so that it works for you
mm-hmm.
and then your partner who might be not
a two.
The same good direction.
He's
yeah.
a two, so that's the opposite.
That's a lot to take in. And when you're first learning this, I mean, this is difficult when you're studying this. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've studied for years, and my students study for years. And so, but it doesn't mean you can't do it, because you can. You can just do a few simple things and start noticing the changes in your life. Like, for instance, I know it sounds crazy, but even using a different door in which you enter your office space, if you're at an office building, or even the studio that you're in, or your home, instead of, I might use my front door instead of my interior garage door, or vice versa, and things will change around. That will even change your luck, because maybe one is a super great direction for you and really supports you, and maybe one's really crappy and doesn't do anything to support you.
Yeah.
And you would notice the difference. And that's the thing I recommend, just like do one or two little things. Move your bed, use a different door maybe, move your desk a little bit, and start noticing the changes of how the Chinese figured out how these principles of direction and how qi and different home sites will support you, or they don't.
And that, I think, is fantastic. Just, you know, just those little tweaks that make a difference. We're out of time.
Exactly.
We're out
make
of time.
A big difference. It sounds simple. You think, well, how could that be? Well, doors take in energy. And think about how many times you come and go from a door.
Yes.
We call that flapping the qi, flapping the energy. You know.
Flapping the chi.
That's what it does.
Okay, we got to get out of here. But for people to connect with you and get maybe a consultation or find out some more information, what's the best way to reach you?
Then go to my website. I have two of them. I've got the main website, dragongatefengshui.com, and then I have an author page because I just created one just for my books. It's fengshuibookstore.com, and that's the one that has a chart. So if they want to get their life wand number today, you know, they want to wait for the book, they can get their life wand number. And start moving things around if they wish. They're good directions and bad directions.
I've got you set up for another interview. We'll come back. We'll talk about feng shui that rocks the house. So for people who are really into this, they can get a little bit more up close and personal. Hey, thank you for listening. And thank you, Denise. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you so much.